So our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 John. These words: the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead was not simply an amazing event, a singular event in the history of mankind. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead changed the reality of existence for all those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Their Savior? Savior from what? Well, the resurrection clearly proclaims in its very occurrence a salvation from death. But it also proclaims that resurrection of Jesus from the dead, our salvation from the world. No, not simply a salvation from the world in the future, but a salvation from the world in the here and now. And in fact, since we are, through the crucifixion death of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead, in fact, saved from the world in the here and now, the world itself has a hard time recognizing us. In fact, the world ceases to recognize us as its own. For in Christ, through faith in Christ, through faith in his resurrection from the dead, we do become strangers in a strange land. Now that's what Moses called himself after his wife Zipporah gave birth to his son far away from Egypt, where Moses had been raised, but from which he fled, ending up living in Midian as a shepherd for 40 years. There Moses called himself a stranger in a strange land. Now, it's because of our faith in Jesus, his crucifixion for our transgressions, his resurrection for our justification, that we too, even in the here and now, have become strangers in a strange land. The Holy Spirit entering us through the Word of God, creating faith within our hearts and changing how we see the world around us, but also then consequently changing how the world around us sees us. Our new reality, then, in Christ is that of not fitting in, being something other, being uncomfortable in what we see and hear all around us from day to day to day to day. And that is uncomfortable. Perhaps you've experienced something similar, being uncomfortable with your surroundings when traveling overseas, or even just going to Wisconsin, or going down to Iowa, or up to Hibbing. That is uncomfortable whenever we get out of our comfort zone, which is our day-to-day life in all that is familiar. There we can feel a bit uneasy until we return to our normal and we see the comfortable people and we hear the comfortable things and smell the comfortable things and experience the comfortable things day after day after day. Yes, I know one of the reasons we do go on vacation is to get away. But only long enough our getting away so that when we return, we can embrace and appreciate and enjoy once again our daily comfortable lives. So we deal with this regularly, don't we? This idea of being strangers in a strange land. But perhaps the problem with which we are faced is that the normal, the comfortable, the familiar has in fact become strange. And we haven't gone anywhere. We haven't left the Twin Cities. We're not on a trip to Bora Bora. We're not even on the Harbor Walk in Duluth, but we're right here. We're right here, right now, and everything is stranger. The stranger it becomes, the stranger we ourselves, as Christians, seem to become. So what's happening? What's happening? Well, the world is simply revealing itself for what it actually is. And since it is, since the world is revealing itself to be that which does not know the true, the living, and the only God, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because, of course, it shouldn't be that way. The world should know its creator. But nowadays, the world seems to run around collectively with fingers in its ears, ignoring every sign, every signal, every message from its creator, saying repeatedly to itself, "I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not listening," like some spoiled two-year-old. Consequently, that does frustrate those who do listen. That bothers and it troubles and it angers. So the question, what is going on in the world? It's just going nuts. The answer? We're strangers. Strangers in a strange land. That's what we are. Those that the world does not know because the world does not know its creator. That is the Lord of heaven and earth, even Jesus, our Lord, through whom all things were made, as we're told in John 1. But think here, as I noted on Easter morn, what the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead actually was. For in his resurrection, Jesus no longer appeared to the world. Yes, he appeared to those who believed in him, as many as 500 in one setting who were in the world. But Jesus did not walk about in the world openly after his resurrection. Jesus only appeared to his disciples, to the apostles, to those who believed in him. He appeared by the open tomb, for example. And then to those two disciples who were walking to Emmaus. He appeared to the disciples who were hiding in that locked room twice. And then later, when they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Finally, Jesus appeared to those who believed in him on the mountain from which he would then ascend right in front of them. There was, after all, no reason for Jesus to go walking about in the world publicly after his resurrection. He had done what he had become man to do, that is to suffer and die for the sins of the world, and rising again from the dead, offer new life to all those who would that they too die to sin. So, confessing our sin at the beginning of each worship service, what are we doing but saying publicly and openly that we too wish to die. We wish to die to sin as Jesus did. And we wish to live in that new resurrection life, that is, in the forgiveness of sin brought to us through faith in him. Those new lives are lives of the resurrection of a Christ known to us through faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, but not known to the world. Not known to the world. It's not like during his public ministry before his crucifixion and death that it was much different. Think about this. Christ didn't go to school in Jerusalem, after all, and then head off to college in Athens or Rome, then return to Jerusalem to assume a teaching position from which he then taught and wrote books and gained fame as people then came to him from far and wide to hear his wisdom there in Jerusalem. You know, that's what happened with Solomon. No, Jesus taught out away from society mostly, partly because he had to, because of the size of the crowds, but partly as well because the following of Christ would be a coming out from society. Away from society, away from daily life, away from the world, of being in the world but not of it, of being strangers in a strange land. Now, living overseas, we got a taste of the isolation such a life away from society can cause. Even though we were in society, our language skills and lack of upbringing in Germany meant we were, for all intents and purposes, initially isolated there. We were isolated from those around us simply because we couldn't talk to them. We were strangers in a very strange land. So the wonder, the joy, the comfort when friends would visit us from the United States or other Americans living there in Germany at the time would stop by at our apartment for the evening. Yes, we were all experiencing that life together at those moments. There was no fear or anger or resentment or frustration. I mean, what could we actually do about the culture with which we were surrounded? What could we do as Americans in Germany? All that we could do is live within it as those not part of it. And that is what we in Jesus, in our resurrection life in him, are also called upon to do. So the Apostle Paul proclaimed to the Christians living in pagan Rome at that time, pagan Rome which would persecute the Christians it found there and cause the death of Paul eventually, "I appeal to you," Paul wrote to those Roman Christians, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect." Now, when Paul wrote these words to the Christians in Rome, inspired words of the Holy Spirit, Christianity, it was unknown in Rome. The challenge then for the Christians there, having come to faith in Christ, living daily in the resurrection reality of Christ, was how they should go about living there. We, differently, have grown up for all intents and purposes within a Christian society. That is a society which assumes the morality of Christianity should in fact be the way every person should live. But that's changed, hasn't it? And it could just be that the society of 21st century America is beginning to look more and more and more like first century Rome. But does that mean that our life in Christ has changed? Has our life in Christ as Christians changed? No. Just means that the society has changed around us. Who we are as Christians will look, as that society continues to change, stranger and stranger and stranger to the world and to ourselves. And indeed, the pressure of the world might therefore increase, in the words of a popular song when I was in college, to conform or be cast out. But that also would be nothing new. As Paul already noted in his second letter to the Christians in Corinth, a city known throughout the Roman Empire for its immorality at that time. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart, but we've renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. What the Apostle Paul was dealing with, of course, was living the life of the resurrected Christ in the first century Roman Empire. Was such a life a matter of subterfuge, appearing to live in one way but living another, using the tricks and methods of the world, which were inherently sinful, to promulgate a life which was a pursuit of sinlessness? No. So here we need to check ourselves a bit, don't we? Simple self-check would be to examine ourselves and see if how we speak and act with others when we come to church on Sunday morning is it any different than how we speak and act during the week? If so, then we need to ask ourselves why we do such a thing. Is it because we in reality don't want to remain unknown to the world, but known, and so adapt the ways of the world so as not to be seen as some sort of stranger to it? That is for each and every one of us to ask ourselves and answer on our own. For when the Holy Spirit was given to us in our baptism, when we heard the Word of God for the first time and embraced our Lord and Savior Jesus in faith, we did indeed enter into a new reality, a better reality, one in which we are already partially in the eternal resurrection because we were made a member of the body of Christ. That means that wherever He is, that's where we are. So not just on earth, but in heaven with Christ, not completely, but partially. No wonder things here on earth can seem so strange. No wonder the world doesn't know us, but that's okay. Our Savior Jesus Christ does. For we are no strangers to Him. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.